Okay, so I wanted to talk today about who should we believe. Of course, this is still, might as well be a part of Acts. We're studying Acts. But I just wanted to make sure that we understood that we should be careful about getting doctrine out of Acts, out of the book of Acts. Because what Luke is doing in Acts is reporting about the acts of the apostles, what they did. He also tells us what they said to a certain extent, but very little compared to when we get into the books of doctrine. So, and as far as the acts of the apostles are, they're not perfect acts. Some of them might even be wrong acts. They made mistakes. So let's not take doctrine out of what they necessarily did or said. Let's examine it and see how it plays out. And one other thing about Acts is that it is a transition, which means it's progressing. One of the things we've realized is it goes from one thing to another, and we learn as we go. But let's go back right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Where Paul is dealing with people that want to follow people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. And so he's written to the Corinthians, where there's all kinds of divisions. And he says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." He says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" So they were divided as to who to follow based on who they had been baptized by, or who they wanted to follow, who they thought was the person they ought to be following. So when Paul asks the question, is Christ divided? That's why I put these names up here on the board. It's today, who do we follow? You know, this guy, Sir Robert Anderson, he was the head of Scotland Yard in England in the 1800s. And he examined the Bible like a detective. And he writes some great books about rightly dividing the Bible. Not easy to understand books. They are in Old English if you get them. And so you'll struggle. And he writes sentences that are amazingly long. But he's wonderful. And I learned a lot out of him. So he's a wonderful guy. Maybe we ought to follow him. And then E.C. Moore, Turner, I know you know E.C. Moore, and E.C. Moore, I know, was just, the Lord used him mightily in the Southeast as far as teaching the Word of God rightly divided and establishing other preachers that came out of him and teachers all over the place. I couldn't remember if Richard Jordan actually was ever under him or not.
He did, separated.
Okay. Okay, but he helped him get started too. And of course, Les Feldick's the guy that we know through TV, and all kinds of people have come to right division through watching him on TV. And then Richard Jordan himself has been used mightily. There's all kinds of preachers that have come out of him. Some of them, in fact, you would think they were Richard Jordan, the way they can work a blackboard, you know, because he can work a blackboard. And then there's our own little Frank Tanner, who, man, knows the Bible better than I do and can go back into it in all sorts of places. And then, you know, there is myself, too. So the question is, do we follow these people or do we follow Jesus Christ? I mean, that's the question. And if the answer is that we follow Jesus Christ, how do we follow him? Through the Word, right? Through Scripture. Yeah, rightly divided. But it's through the Word. You know, it's. I think I told you that I saw that cartoon where a man was on his knees praying and saying, "Lord, show me your will, show me your will." And then through the clouds comes a hand with a Bible in it. You know, it's, "Here's my will." You know, so the point that I'm trying to make here is don't follow a man. Let him help you. I mean, these people help tremendously, you know, up here. But don't believe it unless you can prove it to yourself. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. You've heard this verse, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And this is, Paul's just telling us who is more noble than who. But there's an amazingly important doctrine buried in here, you know. He's talking about the Bereans in chapter 17, verse 11. And he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, what I get out of that is that, for instance, whoever they were listening to, and in this case it's Paul, they listened attentively. In other words, let's see what he has to say. But then they didn't stand up and scream at him because he said something wrong or because they didn't understand. They searched the scriptures daily to make sure that what he said was right. And Robert Schrank, or Bob, that attends here, they're, by the way, they're Jerry and Geraldine had their daughters come in for Father's Day, and so I guess they've got a whole... And one of their daughters happens to be the one that thinks that we all ought to be under the law, so I think she's dragging them to stay home today. But Robert, last week we were talking about the two Gospels, and he was reading and following, and he told me later, he says, man, I got a nugget today.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what did you get? He said, well, I understood for the first time that there really are two Gospels. Now, he's heard me say that before, but he wasn't believing it because I said it. And that's what excited me about what he said this last week, is he says, I got it. And I got it out of Scripture. And now he can explain it to somebody because he actually believes it. And that's the difference between saying, well, yeah, it's like this because that's what Ed said on Sunday, or that's what Richard Jordan said, or whoever. Or you've really got it yourself and you can defend it, you know. So, so where do we go to check out what any man is telling us about Scripture? To the Scripture, right? So... And the reason I'm setting this up is because something came up last Sunday that I will call a theory. And I first heard this theory presented by a very smart and godly man who knows how to rightly divide. In fact, he's somewhere here on this board, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. But I don't agree with what he said, so I'm going to lay it out to you and let you all decide. And so let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. And I guess the reason I'm emphasizing that, too, is because every person on here makes mistakes. All of us can be wrong. I go back to some things that I wrote a while back, and I'm glad nobody's got them. You know, I can just throw them away, you know. So we know we can all be wrong. And so we've got to be subject to the Word to be corrected, you know. So let's go. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. You remember this from last week. Paul had gone to Jerusalem because there was a controversy over whether he should be teaching his gospel at all. And so he came, and first he communicated privately to those that were in charge in Jerusalem. And then here he's reporting to us what came out of it. He says, contrary-wise, he has already said they didn't teach him anything. But he says, contrary-wise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now I'll go ahead and read 8T. He says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter. Who's the he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship?
The Lord.
The Lord, right? That's who did it. The same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So he says, he that did it in Peter towards the circumcision is Jews, right? In me was mighty to the Gentiles. And so let me back up again to verse 7 especially. He talks about that they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. What is the gospel of the uncircumcision? Uncircumcision? Gospel of grace. The mystery, you know, the church, our age, you know, that was committed unto him as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. What's the gospel of the circumcision?
the
kingdom, right? Yeah, the law to the Jews. So who was Peter taking the gospel of the circumcision to?
Jews.
Well, was he taking it to those right around him that already believed it? I want you to think about this. He was taking it to Jews that didn't believe in Jesus Christ yet. They didn't believe in that he had already come. But where was Paul? Where has Paul been taking the gospel of grace? Remember, because he had been out already and he had come back.
Gentiles.
And Jews, yeah, to Jews and Gentiles. He's been more Jews than Gentiles, actually. Okay, so now verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, that's James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, in other words, seemed to be in charge, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So who are the circumcision that they were supposed to go to?
Jews.
And why? And again, I ask, why would they preach the gospel of the kingdom over and over again to Jews who already knew it? They're trying, that we've been seeing since the beginning of Acts, they're trying to save whatever last Jews they can save into the kingdom that are possible, right? They're telling Jews that don't believe in Christ about Christ. That's what they're doing, and about the kingdom, if they will believe. So, who are the heathen?
Gentiles.
Okay, now the theory that I'm talking about is that heathen here means Gentiles and Jews that don't believe.
No, it just said Gentile.
It said heathen.
Heathen, yeah.
It said heathen. We got to go with the exact words that it said, you know. But there is a reason for that theory. And the reason is that right here, the apostles in Jerusalem gave Paul the right hands of fellowship, that he should go unto the heathen and they would stay with the circumcision. Yeah. So in other words, they're saying, we'll preach to the Jews, you go preach to the heathen. Well, right after that, he goes and preaches to the Jews too. So the way this theory has come out is as a way to explain why Paul would do that. Why would he, right after there was an agreement made in Jerusalem that they would stay with the Jews and he would go to the Gentiles, let's say, why would he go to the Jews? Right. But in other words, let's read it. In verse 9, it says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So wouldn't you say that the Jews, at least, the Jewish leaders, were thinking from then on, Paul was going to go out and preach to the Gentiles, what he's calling heathen, and they were going to stay with the Jews. That they thought, at least, it seems like, that they'd made an agreement, or at least they'd issued a declaration, which is that Paul would handle the Gentiles, they would handle the Jews. That's what it seems like. Because Paul went to Jews also immediately, this idea comes up to say, well, maybe heathen means Jews too. But I'm going to prove to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it does not. In other words, by changing the word heathen to mean Gentile and unsaved Jew, they think they've explained away the reason why Paul would do something which has been agreed that he wouldn't do. Now, Paul didn't say, I promise you this is what I'm going to do. They gave him the right hands of fellowship to go to the heathen. Okay. But the most important lesson out of this that I want us to learn is just because we don't understand something doesn't mean we get to redefine a word to make it out like we think it ought to be. Because that's, Abraham could have done that about God's going to give him a child with a woman that can't bear children. In fact, he did do that in a sense. He went over with the maid and decided to have a child for God because of that very same mistake almost, right? Well, how is it possible that God's going to be able to give me a child through this woman that can't have children?
Well, I'll take care of that. And human wisdom came into the picture, and human wisdom decided they could fix it. So they took Abraham to a maid, and out came the Ishmaelites that have given the Jews trouble ever since. You know, so I just want to say that, because it seems particularly hard for pastors to say they don't understand something. And we don't understand everything. And when we don't understand it, we have to trust the Lord. That's all. We just have to leave it there, you know. But let's define the word heathen. I started out, I looked it up in the dictionary. And the dictionary says, this is human wisdom, says that it's a person that does not acknowledge the God of the Bible. And they listed specifically pagans, Gentiles, that does not acknowledge the God of the Bible. That would certainly not include the Jews in the synagogues, who did acknowledge the God of the Bible. They believed in God. So then I went to the Greek lexicon. That tells us kind of what the Greeks meant with the words that they used. And it says that heathen means nations, Gentiles, pagans. All those are non-Jews. So now, let's go to a more sure source to find the word, and that's this Bible right here, right? Let's go back to Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Remember, that's right about in the middle of the Bible. The second Psalm, Psalm chapter 2. Remember, most of these were written by David, but they were definitely written to the Jews. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And he starts right off saying, "Why do the heathen rage?" Now, this is requoted in the New Testament, so it's not just here. But why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Who's the heathen and who's the people?
Gentiles.
The heathen are the Gentiles. The people are the Jews, because that's who he's talking to. Why do the heathen rage and the Jews or the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers... Now he's talking about the kings of the earth are the Gentile nations. The rulers are the rulers of Israel take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, this is a prophecy of what happened when Christ came. And they ended up crucifying him, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Okay, now we're not going to go on in there. Let's jump up for another look at heathen to...
Verse 8, maybe more.
Okay, well, let's look at verse 8. Yeah. And so again, he's saying to the Jews, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then let's go from there to Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's turn to the right of ways, past Isaiah and Jeremiah. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 22 to 24. Chapter 36, verses 22 to 24. And he starts out saying, therefore say unto the house of Israel... Now that would be Jews, right? Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel. This is when the Lord is really mad at Israel, and he's saying, I'm not doing this for your sake, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. So who's done the profaning? The Jews, Israel, because they have profaned the name of the Lord among the heathen. Just like today, Christians profane the name, or Christendom, I should call them at least, that profane the name of the Lord among non-believers. You know, there's not much difference. They watch things they see on TV, they watch the preaching, they watch the goings on, and they say, good grief. And they profane the name. Well, it was the same thing there. He says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And I will take you, that's the Jews, from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Okay. So again, he's talking to the Jews. He's going to take them out of the land of the heathens. Let's go now to Zechariah. That's pretty close before Matthew. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 13. Chapter 8, verse 13. Yeah, just a little ways before Matthew. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, he's talking to the Jews, as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, that's Jews, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. So they were, the Jews were a curse among the heathen. The heathen are the Gentiles. The house of Judah and Israel are the Jews. And then finally, let's go on up to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 7, where the Lord is teaching his disciples how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And he says, and when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So again, always a distinction between the Jews and the heathen. So are heathen Gentiles and the Jews?
No.
I don't think so. Probably, though, the apostles did expect Paul to confine his ministry to the Gentiles when he said, when they told him to go to the heathen, while they would confine theirs to the Jews. But the question is, did Paul do that? Because remember, the reasoning of this theory is that the reason to change the word heathen is because Paul went to Jews right after then to preach. But the agreement seems to be, okay, you go to the Gentiles and we'll go with the Jews. Or you go to the heathen and we'll go with the Jews. So, the question is, did he confine his ministry to who they told him to confine it to? That didn't happen even if you were to believe that they meant Gentiles and Jewish non-believers when they said heathens. Even that doesn't qualify. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. And this is right after that conference in Jerusalem, right after, you know, chapter 2, verse 9 is where he says, we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So this agreement has just been made. And then in verse 11, it turns out that Peter is up in Antioch with Paul and his people. And this is Paul telling us this. He says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. You following me there? Is everybody there?
Yeah.
He was to be blamed. He says, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So Peter was having a good old time up there in Antioch eating with the Gentiles until the Jews from James came. Now, what kind of Jews were these? Were these Jews that believed or were these Jews that didn't believe? In the kingdom, in Christ.
Yeah.
These were Jews that believed in the kingdom, in Christ. The ones that he was not supposed, Paul was not supposed to mess with, you know. So it says he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. Man, he pulled away from them real quick. He was afraid of those Jews from James, fearing them which were of the circumcision, which were the Jews. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So they were all carried away. They were all trying to pretend to the Jews from Jerusalem, oh, we're not mixing with the Gentiles. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? But he goes on. Let's read 15 and 16. We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing... Now he's saying this statement that's coming, he's saying to Jewish believers in Christ. I want you to get that. The ones that in Jerusalem, they said, you stay away from the Jews, period. And the ones that the theory says, it just meant you stay away from the Jews that don't believe. But this is Jews that do believe, and do believe in the kingdom gospel. And he's saying to them, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So he's not only going to go from here and teach Jews all over the place that don't believe in Christ. He's telling his gospel right here even to Jews who do believe in Christ, even though he knows that the Jews in Jerusalem don't want him to, because that causes them problems. So let's go on to... Well, let's just ask this. Why would Paul go against the wishes of the apostles regarding who he was speaking to, since it's reasoning that got us talking about this in the first place? Why would he do that?
Well, he said he would have given his life if his brethren could have been saved.
Oh, that's a pretty good reason. So, in other words, he terribly wanted to save the Jews, you know, even though they didn't.
And he's the only one with the message of grace.
There's another reason. Okay. And maybe he doesn't think they're over him. He did go there to get there. He got a letter from them saying, listen to Paul, and it's okay what he's teaching. We saw that last week. But maybe he doesn't have the need to obey what they're putting on him. Maybe he's got a higher power he's obeying. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20.
Does Romans 1:16 apply here? God told him to go to the Jew first, or is that am I not?
Well, no, that's true too. You know, and yes, but let's go to these two first. So, verse 20: I am crucified with Christ, says Paul. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul has gotten pretty used to going against every kind of tradition he ever had in his life. You can believe that his flesh is protesting every time he's preaching grace to Gentiles or Jews, because he was raised under the law. But now he's following Christ, and Christ is living in him. But the better one even is Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, which I could see him saying if those apostles came to him, or he should have said, because they are going to come to him again, but if they came to him and they said, well, you know, why are you preaching to the Jews when we told you not to? And his answer is, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I please men? For if I had yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So the one place, in fact, he had been warned by God and the Holy Spirit not to go to was Jerusalem, where he ended up going anyway. But let's tiptoe through Acts here to see. Let's start at Acts chapter 22.
His walk in heaven changed his whole outlook, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 22, verse 18. Where the Lord says to Paul, "And saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee." So here we go with human reasoning again. You know, we all can get our human reasoning. So Paul is doing human reasoning against Lord. Lord, that's not true. He didn't say those words, that's not true. The Lord said, get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to receive your word concerning. Lord, they know that I'm imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on me. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So he's trying to reason with the Lord and say, you know, they'll accept me. They know what I've been, what I've done. But the Lord said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So news has gotten back to them that Paul is teaching the Jews, not heathen, his gospel, and they are not happy about it. We will return to this. This is the next conference where Paul has to defend himself about teaching the gospel of grace to the Jews. But we're not there yet, so we're going to come back to it. But the purpose of this exercise is to show you how easily we can be led astray, even by the best of men. So let me go ahead and do Acts chapter 17. Verse 1. We're just going to kind of tiptoe through these. Remember, if heathen also meant Jews who don't believe in Christ, then we should hear Paul use that word every time he goes into a synagogue when he's going all over here preaching the gospel. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the heathen.
Of the Jews.
No, it was a synagogue of the Jews. Let's go to verse 5. But the heathen which believed not.
But the Jews.
The Jews, but didn't we just hear that the Jews that believed not were heathen? But here it says, the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, looked unto certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. I don't know why poor Paul kept going to the Jews, because they sure didn't give him the time of day, but he was going to the Jews. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Again, these are the Jews that believe not, you know, stirred up the people, verse 13. And then chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the heathen.
The Jews.
I mean, he distinctly has a distinction there. The Jews and the Greeks, or the Jews and the Gentiles that he persuaded there. Verse 4. And then verse 12. And when Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. And then Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, not heathen. It's a separation there. And we know this, the final straw on this is when Paul returns to Jerusalem, they're not happy with him because he's been preaching just to the heathen, which is Gentiles and Jews that don't believe according to this theory. They would be happy if he had been, right? In other words, if heathen meant Gentiles and Jews which don't believe, they'd have been happy that he was doing that. But they weren't happy. Let's go to chapter 21, verse 18. And this, he returns to Jerusalem after this, these trips that he's taken after they told him to go to the heathen. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Now, that's an interesting word, isn't it? Particularly there. Now, he's been out talking to Jews and Gentiles all this time, we've seen. Why did he particularly talk to them just about the Gentiles and his ministry? Because he knew they wouldn't be happy that he was going to the Jews and teaching them the same thing also. Particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. But they already knew what was going on. And it says, when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said to him, and here's where it immediately changes, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles, not the heathen, total distinction, the Jews which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither walk after the customs. Now, we're going to come back to this. You know, this is way ahead of us in Acts. But I just want you to see they were not happy that he was going around teaching his gospel to the Jews. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So, there is a time that God declared his people, not his people. I want to bring this up in the Old Testament. He declared his people, not his people. And I know this is some of the reasoning that goes into the people that use this theory to say that heathen means Jews and Gentiles. But in context, if you look at what we're looking at in Acts, that just does not fit. It doesn't fit whatsoever. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. We got to watch this. I mean, I used to get tempted by it all the time. Somebody would start arguing opinion with me. Well, it just seems to me that God would have... And I mean, I think you just got to get off of that and get back in the book and get right where it says and say, well, wait a minute, what's the actual facts that are being revealed? We can't add here and subtract there to make it come out like what the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. We want it to make sense to us by our human wisdom. Now, we have some spiritual wisdom. There it should make sense. But when we start using human wisdom, we can really go wrong. And what does human wisdom say about the cross? Let's go back up to verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. That's human wisdom. You will never be able to convince a person who's using human wisdom that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died for our sins on the cross and was raised again from true death and is back up into heaven again. That makes no sense whatsoever. So there has to be a spiritual look at it, and the spiritual look at it is to read what God says, because that's our anchor. And right now, if you will listen to the preachers on the radio and the preachers on TV, you'll see how they take a verse, and sometimes they change a verse, sometimes they add, sometimes they subtract, sometimes they put their theories in between. But they take you've got to stay grounded, you know. You've got to stay grounded to the Word of God and not let yourself be carried away. So, don't trust signs or emotions or men using human wisdom. trust in God's word only, you know, here or anywhere else. And that's the lesson for today. So. All right.